Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, and welcome back, national audience. We're here for the next hour answering your questions, and our number is 888-302-3684. We got lots of information to share with you this hour. And this week in the newsletter, by the way, you can go to drhoffman.com and you can click on subscribe to the newsletter, and you will then receive via email our great weekly newsletter. Lots of information, and it's linked to our website, so you can get the 411 on whatever's happening in the world of health and nutrition every week via your inbox. This week, I tackled the issue of, are vegetarians healthier than meat eaters? That is certainly the contention of a lot of people, is that we all ought to be vegetarian. In fact, it's also thought to be healthier for the environment, because meat is higher in the food chain, so the theory goes. And as a result of all that animal husbandry, we're devastating our planet. The cows are passing gas, and the methane is causing a giant cloud to develop over the Earth, heating the Earth's atmosphere as part of global warming. And so the story goes, we're all being urged to go on a plant-based diet. And in fact, that's part of the public policy that's being implemented via government recommendations, is that we go plant-based and avoid excess animal protein. A popular view these days is that vegetarians live longer and are healthier than their meat-eating counterparts. So this week in the newsletter, I feature an article which has some very, very interesting data. It's entitled The Association Between Eating Behaviors and Various Health Parameters. The eating behaviors in question are, do you eat a vegetarian diet, or do you eat a moderate animal protein diet, or do you eat a high animal protein diet? That was the subject of a study just done in Austria. And, you know, if you go to the bookstore these days, vegetarian books abound, the most popular of which is The China Study by T. Colin Campbell. And he's penned some new volumes which are really influencing the thought processes of a lot of people. One is called Whole, Rethinking the Science of Nutrition. The other one is called, get this, The Low-Carb Fraud. And that clearly is taking aim directly at Dr. Robert Atkins, right? Because the whole thing is a scam, and that's, you know, settled science. Colin Campbell is director of the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutritional Studies, which is in partnership with Cornell University, a center for agricultural studies and food research, and they offer degrees in plant-based studies. It's a little bit like you go to college and you're studying gender studies, or you're studying, African-American history or African or Hispanic identity. It's sort of like looking at the world of nutrition through a certain perspective, which is that plant-based diets are superior. Then there's Caldwell Esselstein, who is the inspiration to Bill Clinton to be on his vegetarian diet. He collaborated with Colin Campbell on the popular documentary Forks Over Knives, How a Plant-Based Diet Can Save America. That's a modest claim, is that we're going to save America by becoming vegetarians or quasi-vegetarians. Then, of course, there's The Starch Solution by Dr. John McDougall, which contains the astonishing assertion that we should pack our diets with lots of starch from things like rice and potatoes and noodles and pasta. All right. In just a moment, I'm going to share with you some, I think, startling statistics on what this all boils down to when scientifically evaluated. But first, let's take a call. Let's talk to Linda. Hi, Linda. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Maybe you could help me.
Okay.
I am a 61-and-a-half-year-old woman who's well-preserved. And
well-preserved. I like well-preserved women. That's a good thing. I like my women well-preserved.
Well, thank you. I ride my bike. I just got off. I did a solid hour. I probably went about 15 miles.
That's really great. Don't
have any other health issues yet.
Good. In the
last year, since April 2013 to now, I had 5 episodes of atrial fibrillation.
The last one
in March, I had it, and I felt faint, and I ended up in the emergency room, and they did all tests. Thyroid, everything came back negative.
Right.
They referred me to an electrophysiologist.
Right.
I went to. He said that what I have is intermittent.
Uh-huh.
He recommended that I go on aspirin, 325 milligrams coded.
Right.
He also wanted me to think about a beta blocker called Toprol, T-O-P-R-O-L, 25
Yeah, it's the most popular beta blocker around. Yeah, it slows the heart rate a little bit and prevents the heart from racing.
And he told me to come back in July.
Okay.
In the meantime, I want to let you know that I do take supplements. I do drink green tea on a regular basis. I do take Flora for acid reflux, Reversitol, vitamin C.
A lot of people say Reversitol. That's kind of a funny little dyslexic thing. It's Resveratrol.
What is it?
Resveratrol. Resveratrol reverses aging. That's kind of a cool name. Maybe I'll come up with a new product called Reversitrol.
I like
featuring that. Resveratrol and all the other nutrients that reverse aging.
Right.
Okay. We'll go in on it together.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Vitamin C, D, and B12.
So
my question to you today would be, are any of the supplements that I'm taking triggers?
Yeah.
Would you recommend what this doctor is recommending to me?
Yeah.
Is there anything else that I should be doing?
Sure. Okay.
So let me
discuss it. First of all, what you are the tender age of what, Linda?
61 and a half.
61. Okay, so are you like a really, really, really big super exerciser, like doing ultra marathons and like very heavy duty?
No,
the reason I ask is because there is a tendency, and it's a little bit of a disturbing tendency among ultra exercisers, you know, people who do Ironman and double Ironman and, you know, double marathons, to have enlarged hearts and a slightly higher tendency towards arrhythmias. Now, this is not to say that the moderate amount of exercise you're doing is harmful. It's fine. It's good. But I'm just saying for completeness that there are some studies that say it may be counterproductive to really pound out the miles and exercise excessively. All right. So that being the case, you know, your moderate exerciser, the supplements you're taking are not causing a problem. In fact, they're beneficial in a lot of ways for you. If you were to take a lot of caffeinated green tea, well, maybe that could send your heart rate up. So I'd probably look at your overall intake. But usually tea is less caffeinated than coffee, is less likely to cause a problem. Among the supplements that you mentioned, did you mention magnesium?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay, because magnesium would be the key here. And the type of magnesium that works best for intermittent atrial fibrillation, for folks, if you're locked into atrial fibrillation and you're just there, this is not going to reverse your atrial fibrillation. But Linda's just beginning to have little bouts of it. She's starting to break through. And she does need to thin the blood because there's a possibility of blood clots when your heart races. So the aspirin is a conservative way of doing it, short of using Coumadin or Pradaxa or one of those new medications. The rate-limiting medication, you could use that because that'll somewhat prevent these episodes because they're disconcerting and potentially dangerous, although they're not that dangerous. And the magnesium taurate would be the type that you would use. And you would dose it up to one twice daily, but then work up progressively to as much as 6 or even 8 per day. Now, the limiting factor with magnesium is always that it can have a little bit of a laxative effect. So you want to make sure that when you get to a certain threshold, you're not going to have to run to the bathroom. So work up slowly. And you know, I learned this actually from a holistic doctor colleague of mine who had precisely the condition you have. He said, you know, one of the reasons why people give up on magnesium is they take one or two and then it doesn't work for their tachycardia or their bouts of atrial fibrillation. And they say it doesn't work. But you have to work up to a significant dose, particularly of magnesium taurate. Magnesium taurate has taurine in it. Taurine is a rate regulating amino acid. And it really can make a difference. And I think you could help that situation with that. All right.
Wonderful. Okay.
So give it a shot.
And you do recommend the aspirin.
Yeah. And I also recommend, you're taking fish oil, right?
Yes.
Okay. So fish oil also to some extent will help.
Actually, the flaxseed, the ground flaxseed.
It's no good. No good. It's no good. The vegetarian sources. I mean, we might take time this hour to talk about the contention that flaxseed is superior to fish oil. No way, no how. Fish oil actually has an antiarrhythmic effect, and you may want to take as much as 4 or 6 capsules a day. All right? You can certainly do that.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Hey, give us a call back and give us some feedback in a few months if that is successful for you, because I know a lot of listeners will want to hear about it. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. That's a number. I'm taking your calls. We've got features on Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. In our newsletter this week, you'll find an article, Are Vegetarians Healthier Than Meat Eaters? Well, I conclude, so not. But I base it on a shocking new study that suggests that vegetarian eaters are less healthy than their omnivorous counterparts. This is an amazing study. And it's not getting any play whatsoever, predictably. You're going to hear the contention that a plant-based diet can save America by reducing our healthcare costs and saving our environment. And this is thought to be settled science. But if you actually look at the science and look at studies, there is very little evidence that vegetarianism is superior to a healthy omnivorous diet. Now, look, in general, I will say this. Vegetarians tend to be healthier people than non-vegetarians because they're really careful about what they eat. They eat less. They don't eat a lot of junk, usually, although, boy, there are plenty of vegetarian offerings that are poor quality. You know, just go to any Whole Foods and you'll see entire aisles lined with healthy, natural chips and sugar-laden desserts that are vegan. And you can make yourself 4+ sick by devouring that kind of food continually. This study from Austria, and you'll find it, it'll be up on our website on Monday, but if you subscribe to our newsletter, you'll get it. The association to eating behaviors and various health parameters. Okay. The authors state, quote, overall, in our study, vegetarians are in a poorer state of health compared to the other dietary habit groups, moderate meat eaters and heavy meat eaters. Concerning self-reported health, vegetarians differ significantly from each of the other groups towards poorer health. Moreover, these subjects report higher levels of impairment from disorders. Vegetarians additionally report more chronic diseases than those eating a carnivorous diet. Significantly more vegetarians suffer from allergies, cancer, and mental health ailments, such as anxiety or depression, than the other dietary habit groups. Now, if we look at it, and there's a nice chart in the study, and we provide a link to the actual study. If you look at the rate of asthma, it's about 60% higher in vegetarians. If we look at the rate of allergies, it's nearly double the rate in vegetarians. And actually, I do find this to be the case. I see a lot of committed vegans and vegetarians, and they tend to be very allergic, and their skin is very itchy. That this is one thing that I almost find uniformly among very dedicated vegetarians. They may not be getting enough essential fatty acids, literally enough fat in their diets. Their skin tends to be dry, itchy, sensitive. When it comes to mental illness, it's almost double the rate of mental illness in vegetarians. Now, you could say that vegetarians, perhaps they're a little bit more, perhaps, I would say crazy, but they may be a little bit more neurotic, a little bit more fixated on food, and perhaps that accounts for their higher rate of mental disorders, anxiety and depression. But maybe there's something in literally in the chemistry of the food that's being eaten, because cholesterol is essential for the brain. And if your brain has no cholesterol, maybe, just maybe, it won't function normally. And you might be more prone to mood disorders. Or perhaps lack of iron has an impact, or lack of B12 could have an impact on mental disorders. All right? When it comes to all chronic conditions, 5.5% of the carnivores, 8.8% of the vegetarians. Now, you could also argue that vegetarianism may be the answer that some people find to their health problems. So they say, well, I'm sick, or my family history is rife with cancer. My mother just got breast cancer. My father just died from whatever, prostate cancer. So I'm going to go vegetarian. That is a possible explanation here. But when it comes to cancer, 3.3% of the omnivorous folks, 4.8% of the vegetarians. And you might expect a benefit with high blood pressure. Actually, more vegetarians had high blood pressure than carnivores. When it came to heart attacks, virtually identical statistics. When it came to stroke, slightly less for vegetarians, but not much, not a significant difference. Arthritis, slightly more in vegetarians. So clearly not significant benefits. And the authors conclude, while generally speaking, diets based on plants like vegetarian diets seem to be associated with certain health benefits or lower risk to contract certain chronic diseases, restrictive and monotonous vegetarian diets may up the risk of nutritional deficits. And I mean, the other thing that we point out in this article in my newsletter is that a big study came out this month that demolishes the saturated fat heart disease connection and suggests that there is no difference in heart disease among high consumers of saturated fats versus low consumers of saturated fats. And that the only difference occurs when you consume a lot of trans fats. Trans fats are margarine-like fats, shortening, Crisco, the stuff that they put in cookies, candies, and chips. These tend to increase the risk of cardiovascular disease, but not saturated fats, butter, coconut oil, and the saturated fat that you find in meat. So there you go. I mean, that's the science. Can you really argue with these conclusions? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be right back taking your questions, 888-302-3684 for Intelligent Medicine.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system, because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. In just a moment, we're going to take a look at how one of America's most popular drugs can double the risk of death. But before we do that, let's talk to Deanna, who's calling us from Atlantic, Iowa. Is that correct, Deanna? Atlantic, Iowa?
Yes, that's correct.
Wait a minute. How do you, you're in the middle of America, where there, you know, you're like 1,500 miles from each ocean. How did your town get named Atlantic? What are they anticipating, global warming, where the water levels are going to rise and eventually you'll be able to have like shoreline property in Iowa?
Oh, that's a good question.
Who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe in the 22nd century, you know, you'll have an ocean view. if you believe that.
Right.
So what's your question, please?
Well, I am going to have a tooth implant, and I've already had the bone put in, and then now they're going to put the titanium screw in.
Okay, so wait, so you had a bone graft to take it, right, so that it takes better. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that's kind of like putting in the foundation, so to speak, and then they let that heal, and now you're going to have a screw put in, and then they're going to put in the implant.
Right.
Okay.
And it seems like they wanted you to take antibiotics every time. And I'm thinking, is there any way I can, like, take my temperature and take a natural antibiotic? And
That's a tough question. You know, listen, here's what happens in the mouth is that every time you brush your teeth, even if you're brushing your teeth, you literally shower your bloodstream with bacteria because the mouth is a dirty place. And what happens is the trauma... it will send bacteria running around through your bloodstream. And, you know, this can literally in patients who have heart valves, sometimes they use antibiotic prophylaxis for dental surgery. Whenever, you know, I mean, in general, they like to use antibiotics to prevent infections when you do dental surgery. But any kind of, even like a colonoscopy or something, which can disrupt the barriers between the bacteria-filled intestine and your bloodstream, they think, oh, my goodness, this could lead to endocarditis and someone's got a valvular problem, and they use antibiotic prophylaxis, like, every time. So, you know, maybe a dentist can call and weigh in on this, although we're in the waning part of our program.
Yeah, he's not very happy about the idea, so that's why I thought I'd ask
you know,
the question. Because I get a sore around the bridge that I have back there. And it comes and it goes all the time, and there's just, like, nothing I can do to get rid of it.
Well, the soreness may be – the trouble with mouth problems is the soreness may be due to an infection, or it may be due to simply an inflammation. You know, chronic inflammation can occur, you know, especially with, you know, biting down chronically, what's called bruxing, the pressure that occurs at night. Sometimes they give you a night guard and it alleviates the pain and tenderness because you're taking the pressure off that particular, tooth structure.
Yeah. I wear a night guard every single night.
Okay. So I do have
allergies. So I thought, well, maybe it could be allergies too. I'm not sure if what causing that, but they don't find anything on the x-rays, so I'm just hoping I don't lose the bridge over it.
Yeah, well, you know,
but
I guess
when it's good, when it's bad.
Dentistry, sometimes you have to bite the bullet and you have to take the antibiotic. Of course, when you take an antibiotic, make sure you take probiotics. But some people think, I'm fine. You know, I take as many antibiotics as I want, and I take a probiotic, and it counteracts the adverse effects of the antibiotics. There's still changes and alterations that are very long term. Every time you take an antibiotic, it's not innocuous, you know, and therefore we want to preserve the variety and diversity of our microbiome and our intestines. Very important to overall health. And so antibiotic
use. Supposed to take it at the same time, like you're supposed to wait until you're finished with it. Otherwise, it could counteract the
oh,
effect.
No. Actually, what you think of probiotics? No, probiotics should be taken physically away from the antibiotic. In other words, you don't take them in the same glass of water. Like in the morning, you might take your antibiotic, and then a few hours later, take your probiotic. But no, you can absolutely do that while during the time you take your antibiotic. It'll offset it. Okay.
Great. Well, then I learned something. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. That's what it's all about. Keep listening to us. What station are you listening to us on out there in Iowa?
I think it's out of Kansas City. It's the talk radio station out of Kansas City. I can't think of the letters right now.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, well, we're heard all over the country, and some of the stations I don't know in the midsection of Middle America. All right. Thanks for listening. All right. This one disturbing. This study appeared in the British Medical Journal, and it's a large study that has linked several common anti-anxiety drugs and sleeping pills to an increased risk of death. Researchers followed nearly 35,000 people who filled prescriptions for anti-anxiety medications like Valium, Xanax, or sleep aids like Ambien, Sonata, and Lunesta, and then looked at a bunch of people who didn't take these medications. So what they found is those who took the drugs had more than double the risk of death. They also tried to account for other factors, you know, because you might say, well, look, more people who take anti-anxiety drugs or have sleep problems, they more of them smoke, or more of them drink a lot of booze, or maybe more of them are poor and therefore less likely to get good health care. And they tried to control for also whether they had psychiatric illnesses. So some people with psychiatric illnesses don't take medication, and some do. So you could say, if in criticizing the study, you could say, well, of course, you know, more people who take Valium and Xanax and don't sleep well, take sleeping pills, of course, they're more likely to die because they're less healthy and they're anxious. But no, they tried to control for it in the study. So it is possible, according to the study, that the very drugs themselves increased the risk of death in these individuals who take these medications. These medications, by the way, account for maybe, I would estimate 10% of the prescription medications that are prescribed in this country and across the world. Very, very important category of drugs, Valium, Xanax, and sleep aids, and they can double the risk of death. So natural approaches, that's what we keep talking about. Very, very important to consider them. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic aged garlic extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic aged garlic extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic aged garlic extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We got a caller, Joan from Ithaca, New York. Hi, Joan.
Hi. I really enjoy your educational, informative program. It's fascinating to listen to. I take notes, scribble it down.
Excellent.
And I certainly feel, I used to be an RN, and it makes me feel like I remember things, and you're giving me so much information. But
well,
I called up my
nice.
Daughter.
We're going to award you with an honorary PhD, after, but you have to listen for 2 years, and there will be a spot quiz at the end.
Oh, all right. Thank you. I'll let you know my address is so you can send me the exam.
Exactly.
Okay, my daughter is 27. She's been on the birth control pill since she was 16 because she had 8-day periods.
Uh-huh.
They brought it down to 2-day periods.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend 5 years ago had a vasectomy, the old-fashioned kind.
Okay,
and,
so she doesn't need the birth control pill for that purpose.
Well, then she went off it.
Right.
Then she got an ovarian cyst.
Oh, okay.
But it did not rupture, but she was in extreme pain. She ended up in the emergency room. I guess it resolved itself. Mm-hmm. Well, about 6 months later, the same thing happened, only this time it was really excruciating. It did not rupture.
Yep.
So they said, go back on the pill. Now, she's 27. How long can she be on the pill?
Yeah. Well, you know, there are some issues associated with being on the pill long term.
Yeah.
One is, I mean, obviously, it increases the risk for blood clots. You know, young women don't get strokes and heart attacks, but rarely they do. And when they do, the first thing that they always check in the emergency room on admission is, are you taking the birth control pill? Because that's going to really increase the risk for blood clots. So that's number one. But, you know, I mean, it's rare, but it is a bit of a problem. The other thing that happens is that it may slightly increase the risk for breast cancer, but it actually slightly decreases the risk for ovarian cancer because it kind of suppresses, as you say, it suppresses the ovaries. There's less cysts and there maybe there's less development of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some issues with nutritional blockade, especially of certain B vitamins, B6 and folic acid in particular. You have to supplement when you're on the birth control pill. And the other aspect of it is B6 and B12. Yeah, but particularly methylated B12. You know, the product that we like to use, you know, we're talking a lot about this on today's program is MTHFR defects and, you know, folic acid versus folate. The product that I like to use is something called MethylGuard. You can go to our website at drhoffman.com and find MethylGuard. You know, a lot of the things we talk about here on the show, you go to, you know, you can go to drhoffman.com and click on the store, and we have unusual types of products that you can't usually get in the health food store.
Okay, MethylGuard.
MethylGuard, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing is that for many women taking the birth control pill, there are side effects. For some, it's a relief because they don't have terrible periods. For others, it's a bummer. They have mood problems. They have bloating. They have a complete elimination of their sex drive, because that's what the pill does. The pill actually reduces the level of male-like hormones in the body. Hence, it helps acne, but it also may diminish the sex drive. And so a lot of women say, you know, that's really a problem. Women have a lot of challenges on sexual response, and you don't want to add to that, especially if you're young and in a relationship.
Wheat products, all wheat products.
Well, that's another story. Wheat is affecting her as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, she's on a gluten-free diet now.
Okay. So that's a whole different story. What else can you do for, you know, the other thing? I mean, I don't really know that there's a natural therapy that is a magic bullet for ovarian cysts, but I recently learned something quite interesting. And, you know, you're a nurse and you like listening to this kind of information. So go listen to the podcast this week of our interview with Lynn Farrow. Lynn Farrow talked to us about her new book, The Iodine Crisis. And the subtitle is What You Don't Know About Iodine Can Wreck Your Life. And she lists an amazing number of conditions that can be related to low levels of iodine. Most of us, she believes, and many researchers now believe, we're not getting enough iodine because the iodized salt we use has minimal amounts of iodine. Lots of people are, So iodine may actually be a therapy for ovarian cysts when, you know, it has to be administered properly under supervision, but it really is helpful for cystic diseases, fibrocystic disease of the breast. You know, painful, lumpy breasts really responds beautifully to iodine therapy. I've seen it time and time again in my practice. Also, this is a strategy that you can sometimes use for ovarian cysts. There's good evidence that iodine may have a preventive effect on breast cancer and even in the treatment of breast cancer. Hmm. So I'm intrigued by new information that iodine may be helpful for men who have prostatitis or prostatic enlargement. So this is a great podcast to listen to as an introduction to the book, The Iodine Crisis. I recommend that you get a hold of the book, The Iodine Crisis.
By Lynn Farrow.
Lynn Farrow, yeah, F-A-R-R-W. Go to the podcast section of drhoffman.com. You find a lot of, you know, you're into this. You're a health professional, and I think you'll find some stuff that's really relevant to your concerns. And maybe, just maybe, the iodine may be a way out so that she doesn't require a lifetime on these birth control pills, which can have adverse effects. All right?
Yeah, because didn't they usually suggest after 37, 38, that's it? You shouldn't be on it anymore?
Yeah, no, because then after a certain point, you get older and you really might dramatically increase your risk of blood clots. As you get older anyway, you're more stroke and heart attack prone. All right? Thanks for your call. Thanks for listening to us up there in Ithaca, New York. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. And we're going to conclude the program with a look at human growth hormone. You know, human growth hormone, or HGH, is highly touted in the anti-aging medicine community as a way of enhancing function and prolonging life. And there have been some real concerns that have been cast lately about the effectiveness and even the safety of human growth hormone. I gotta say, I've stood on the sidelines for a really long time because a lot of my patients say, well, can I get growth hormone? Because I want to look awesome. I want to have a washboard abdomen. I want to, have amazing biceps, pectoral muscles, low body fat. I want to look like some of those people in the magazines. Lots of athletes are using this too because they think it's going to enhance their performance. But I just stood on the sidelines because I've been concerned about possible adverse effects of human growth hormone. And now the studies are really bearing this out. Recent research shows that something called IGF-1 that gets boosted with human growth hormone is a stimulus to cancer. It very dramatically increases the risk of particularly breast and prostate cancer, but all cancers. It's a growth factor. And yeah, human growth hormone may help repair and make organs regenerate, but it also may affect the many precancerous cells that a lot of people carry into midlife and older age and cause them to develop into full-blown cancers. And there's also some concern that the muscle growth you get is not really impactful on your strength or exercise performance, muscle performance. The relationship between growth hormone and cognitive function, they say it makes your brain work better, enlarges your brain, but that's not clear either. So researchers are now beginning to cast some doubts on whether growth hormone is the thing to take to extend life. To call it an anti-aging supplement is really a mistake because it may actually curtail life. And while it may make you look more awesome, may not actually improve your function. So I'm still from the show me state when it comes to human growth hormone. I'm not prescribing it for my patients, and I don't advise that people take it. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.